We like children to know about our precious Savior. And I think that's the main reason that you would come to know our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful and blessed thing. How about another song? Claire, do you have one?
62.
Number 62. Some people, when they get saved, the day they get saved, they're afraid. They're afraid. You know what they're afraid of? They're afraid that their sins can't be washed away, or they're afraid of this or afraid of that. But does that change the fact that when someone puts their trust in the Lord Jesus and bows their knee and says, "Precious Savior, save my soul. I'm a lost sinner." Does that change the fact if they're afraid or not? Doesn't change a thing. Because this is something that God does. He takes us out of darkness and he puts us into the light. He takes us out of the family that's lost and puts us into the family that's saved. And it doesn't make any difference if you're scared or you're crying or you're shaking or you're nervous or you're wondering. Doesn't make any difference. What makes the difference is when God puts you out of Adam's family into the family of God. That's what makes the difference. Some people sing, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." That may be true, and it's wonderful when it is, but it may not be true. That is a happy day for them. They may be in real. I know some people that were just shaking and trembling and sweating and worried and all that. But when God does it, it's God's job, and it's what he does. He presents you as a gift to his son. Who has another one? Okay.
60.
Number 60.
Like a little wandering lamb, lost upon the hills I am.
Had some girls. How about some boys? I see a little boy back there. What number would you like? Number 58. Number 58.
Follow J-O-I, J-O-I.
right, what about one of these boys here? Here's a little boy right here. What number would you like to sing? 92? Number 92. Sing the first and last of 52. Interesting at this conference that the children are the ages of who you see right here. There's not too many that are 12, 14, 10. We've got one that's going 8 here in a few days, Morgan, and let's see, 7 years old. Seven, six, who's 7 years old here? There's one. Okay. That's quite an age. You know, a lot of children get saved when they're 7 years of age. I've watched that a long time. 7 years of age, children start to think about these things. And you can think about them if you're 4 or if you're 3 or maybe even if you're 2. There's a song about a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4. Well, I got some things to think about this morning. Let's first pray. Gracious God and loving Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful privilege being able to talk to these children. We think of how they're loved. They're loved by their mom and their dad and their brothers and sisters and grandmas and grandpas. And we just pray that they might realize that they're loved most of all by Thee, Lord Jesus. We find out that in Thy Word that God is love, so we thank Thee. We pray that these few words that are spoken will be like those few fishes that were fed to the multitude, and there was some left over, and there was blessing, and everybody was filled. Help us, Father, we pray. And again, for these little children, that they might come to know Thee, they might appreciate what they have in Thee, Lord Jesus. So bless this word, we ask for help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Riding along in a car down in a far, far, far away place. And I said to the man, he was a taxi driver, I said, "Do you have any orphans in your city?" "Oh, yes." He could speak English. I said, "Does the government, you know, like the city or the state or the county, do they help out with the orphans?" You know what he said? "Oh, no, no." Well, I said, "Well, why don't they help out? Because then there would be too many people for them to take care of. The parents would just leave the children there with the government, and the government would take care of them." I was surprised when I heard that. Then I said, "How old are these children?" "Well," he said, "when they can tell the difference between..." Let's see if I got any money in here. "If they can tell the difference between..." Let's see if this girl can tell the difference between... What are those two pieces of money? Do you know? It's okay, you don't have to know. Do you know what the difference is between those? One is a what and the other is a what? Oh, not quite. This is going to be interesting. Can you tell me the difference between that?
One's a diamond, one's a penny.
One's a diamond, one's a penny. Okay, this girl right here, she doesn't know yet. That's okay, honey, don't worry. She doesn't know the difference between a dime and a penny. This girl does. Do you know what that means in this town of Maputo? It means that this girl gets to stay with her mommy, and this girl is turned out of her house, and she has to live on the street. When I heard that, and that man was telling me the truth, that made my heart sad, because here's children that know the difference between one coin and another. When they know the difference, that means they can go and buy a bottle of pop. Let's just make up a little story here. They can buy a bottle of pop for 10 cents, and they can sell it to somebody on the street for 20 cents. And how much do they get to keep then? If they buy it for 10 cents and they sell it for 20 cents, how much do they get to keep? Well, they get to keep 10 cents. You see, it's called markup. Now, those children, they live on that extra money that they make. So if they sell a bottle of pop to somebody for 20 cents and they only bought it for 10, then they get to live on that 10 cents. And their little children out there that age, you know the difference between a penny and a dime, don't you? Sure you do. Well, then you don't get to stay home in some homes. They just say, you're on the street now. They disown you. And that is so sad. And so when we sing a song like this, "Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me," he knows about those children on the street. He knows about you right here in these chairs this morning. And you know what? Every one of you children have a mommy and a daddy that love you. You be thankful for that. And you know, when your mommy and daddy tell you to do something, it sure makes the heart of God happy when you do it. And it makes the heart of your mommy and daddy happy when you obey. There was a mom came into my office one time, and she had a boy about Anthony's age, maybe a few months older. And that little boy, he just wouldn't behave at all. He would run around the office this way, run that way, and back and forth he'd go and fool with this and mess with that. And his mother would say, "Oh, Johnny, don't blah, blah, blah." She never made him behave. And I felt like telling that lady, well, I did tell her. I said, you know, I had a little talk with that lady. I said, you know, there's a way that you can deal with this situation. And so she said, "Oh, yeah." And so she said, "I'll bring you a book, and it'll show me how to..." How she was going to bring me a book, teach me how to raise children. Well, anyway, here's the point. Children, your mommy and daddy love you. But we want you to know that the Lord Jesus loves you. More than your mom and dad. All right. So, on the street, 7 years of age, 8 years of age, that is so sad. You know, there's coming a time when that won't be anymore. God is going to change all that. Well, anyway, the point I want to make today is this, or the story I want to tell is this, that the Bible tells us about two families. The family of God and the family, well, the family of God, where Christ is the head of it, and the family of Adam. Which family were you born into? Adam's family or God's family? You got it right. I've had children say God's family. Not quite right. What family were you born into? God's family or Adam's family? Adam's. You understand that? That's good. What family were you born into? Adam's family or God's family? This is a pretty young boy here. He never thought of that. Well, we're going to talk about it this morning. Okay. Now, I wanted to keep these chairs over here empty, but I see we need a little more room. So we'll just leave these children right here. That's fine. But let's just say, well, let's put it this way. In the Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says this. Verse 22, 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in Adam all die. Now, let's just do this. Let's take a piece of tape and go between here and here, like this, and over to here. Let's just pretend like this is time. And back here, we know about this. This is the we're living in 2008. I think it's still March. And back here is when I was born. Back here is when your daddy and mommy were born. And your grandpa and grandpa and so on, way on back. But now we come up to a place in time where we don't know what's beyond today. Now, I have a paper here. This is a front of my hotel door. There was a paper that was laid down. It gave the date and so on. That paper takes you right up until almost today. And I suppose if you're listening to the news, it would take you a little closer to right now. But if you were standing right there when something happened, you would be right there. Okay, right there in time. Now, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you? What if somebody that had a newspaper and they could tell you exactly what's going to happen tomorrow ahead of time? They would be so rich. They would be so famous. They'd be so wise. Well, this paper takes you up till today. But now I have something to tell you right here. This book right here is the only book in the world that takes you past today. We'll put it right there. I wish I could put it right there on a table. That's the only book in the world that takes you past today. The newspaper takes you up today. And what's the stories your mommy and daddy tell you? And things that happen at school. It's all about yesterday or today. But nothing tells you about tomorrow. I plan to go to work tomorrow. But do I know that for sure? No. There's been days I've got up in the morning and I didn't go to work that day because I couldn't. Well, I didn't know that the day before. So God tells us about tomorrow. Now, he tells us about tomorrow in this way. As in Adam, all die. Let's just pretend like this family over here in this row of chairs here is the family of God. And you know who's at the head of that family? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give him that chair right there, okay? Now, over here is another family, and this is Adam's family. You know, Adam and Eve. This is Adam's family. Their children down there, come on right on down, Abraham and so on. Way down to your great-grandpa. There's a great-grandpa in this room today, right now. So that would be four chairs back. Let's see. Here's great-grandpa. Here's grandpa. Here's daddy. And here's you. Who has a great-grandpa here? I know she does. Okay, you're in this chair. Your daddy is in this chair. Your grandpa's in this chair. And your great-grandpa's in that chair. And it keeps a going back to who? All the way back to, huh? Yes. Adam. He got it. Okay. Adam's family, it says they all die. That's a sad story. Now, children, that's the fact. As in Adam, all die. Do you have a great, great, great grandpa? You have a great-grandpa. You know who he is, don't you? Is his daddy still alive? No, he's not. He died. He died. Well, that's the case with my daddy and my grandpa and my great-grandpa. They died. As in Adam, all died. But now, here's the question. Here's this whole family of people that are either dead or dying. How do you get out of this family into that family over there where all is life, all is alive? You know, we may go to sleep in Jesus, but our souls go to be with God. So how do you get out? Now, this is Christ's family here. If you're either in, you're in Adam, you're born in Adam. How do you get out of this family into this family? Can anybody tell me? She's got it. She's got it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way, that's the provision, that's the gift that God has made for us. We can get out of that family that all dies into the family that all lives. Isn't that nice? That's a wonderful story. Let's sing another song. Who has another song?
27.
Someone start that, please.
Everybody ought to know.
Another little illustration is this. Once we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, like that, those beautiful hymns have been telling us, and we are saved by the grace of God The precious blood of Christ has cleansed us from all of our sins. By the way, I asked a little 8-year-old Chinese boy that was in the shop one time. His parents were standing right there in front of him. And the little Chinese boy was standing right there. And I said, I have a question for you. I forget his name. I said, if you were standing at the gate of heaven, I said, it doesn't quite work this way. But if you were standing at the gate of heaven and God were to say to you, let's just call his name Bruce. Bruce, why, God says, why should I let you come into my heaven? What would you tell him? And the kid looked kind of surprised. And you know what the mommy and daddy said? They said, go ahead, Bruce, tell him. And so the little kid took a breath and he says, because Christ Jesus died for me on the cross. So beautiful. Now that we're saved, we're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, if indeed we are, I have something I'd like to do here. First of all, I'm going to read John chapter 10. And verse 28, John 10, 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Well, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All right? Now that we're one of the sheep of the Lord Jesus, it says, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. And I'd like to see if there's a boy here, because generally they're a little stronger than the girls. Is there any boy here that would like to have this shilling? I have an English shilling here. It's a piece of money. And if you'd like to go ahead and take that out of my hand, you're welcome to do that. Would you like to do that, little boy or little girl? Go ahead, there's a boy right there. Is it Conan? Is that? No. Did I get it right? Conan, okay. Conan, go ahead and take that out of my hand. Okay. Keep trying. No, I'm sorry. Would you like to help him? Okay. Ooh, this guy's... Don't hurt your little brother. He's digging for it, isn't he? No, you're not going to get that out of there, son. Okay, I'm sorry. But you know something? I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you anyway. Can you share? Wait. That wasn't fair. That was not fair at all. No, you wouldn't be able to get that out of there. What else we got here? Oh, just nothing here. There you go. Okay, thank you, boys. Sit down. You made a point. Well, what's so interesting about that? You're in Christ's hand. Now, God the Father's hand is over that. So nobody can get you out of the hand of God. And there's some verses that we could read that explain that very nicely. Now, let's just pretend like, this is another nice thought. Let's just pretend like this is you. What's your name? Okay. What's your name? Okay. And I know Amanda. Anthony, blue-eyed boy. Okay. Let's just say this is Anthony right here. See that little picture there? Anthony. All right. Let's pretend like this is the hand of Christ, Lord Jesus, pretending. Okay? And let's pretend like this is Anthony. Okay, Anthony. Take that money and put it right in that hand, right there. Not in your pocket. Right in this hand. No, my hand. Okay, put it right back in my hand. All right. Now I close that hand on there like that. Now, if Anthony's a believer, when God is looking for Anthony, What does he see? Who does he see? He sees Christ. You see, that's how wonderful salvation is. So no longer do you see Anthony or do you see a Christian in their old condition. You see them in Christ. So is God happy with what Christ has done on the cross? Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And so when God is looking for me, the sinner that was looked at as I'm a Christian now, but when God is looking for me, he sees Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now, when God is looking for you, does he see you still in Adam or does he see you in Christ? Are you in that family of God or are you still in Adam's family? Now, one more time here. If we're talking about you live or you die. Okay, if you're in Adam's family, you die. She said it. But if you're in the family of God, where Christ is the head of it, you live. Isn't that beautiful? Let's sing another song. Okay, who has another one? Okay, Amanda, you're doing good. 51? 51.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Interstate 5, and we were not in a rush that day, my wife and I, and I saw a car side the road that was pulling a trailer, small travel trailer, and it was stopped, and I thought, my, that's a rickety looking thing. So I thought, well, these people might be in trouble, let's see. So I pulled over, and I backed up, and I backed up, and I looked, and here was an old car, and it was all rusty, and the travel trailer, the windows were broken out of it, and the curtains were flapping, and there were two children sitting in the back seat, and the springs were showing in the seats, and I thought, and the windows were broken out. I thought, what kind of a problem is this? So I was curious, and so I said, you having trouble? Yeah, I said, you got jumper cables? I said, no. So what's the matter? He said, well, I got troubles. Well, we got him some jumper cables and so on. That wasn't the problem. But this man and his wife, they lived in Montana, and she, the mommy, got sick. And so they drove over to Seattle to a special hospital where they take care of those special diseases. And they, on the way over, their Dodge pickup that was running real good broke, and the mechanic said, it's no good. So they had $150. They bought this car and this trailer. And now they're going, the mom's getting treatments in town there at the hospital, and they go out in the country to find a place where they can park at night. And I looked at him, I thought to myself, how sad. Nobody cares. I said, do you have parents that can look after you? No. Nobody that can help you? No. They were broke. Their car was broken. They were hungry, I guess. And they were just trying to find a place to park so they can go in the next day to get some more treatments because the mommy was going to get sick and die. And I thought, boy, this is awful. You know something? There's a verse in the Bible that says the Lord looked down from heaven. Let's see if we can find that verse. How about Psalm 102? Psalm 102, 19. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth. Now I have a question for you children. If you were going along and you saw this family that was so broken down beside the road there, what would you have done? What would you have done? What would you have done? If you were able to help him, you would have, wouldn't you? I'm sure you would have. Amanda, what would you have done if you saw this family that was just having so much trouble? What would you try to do? Help them? Yeah. Well, here's what happened here. The Lord looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven. Did the Lord behold the earth to hear those, to hear the groaning of the prisoner? You know, you're on earth here and you can't get out of it. You're in this thing called life and you can't get out of it, really. You need help from on high. You need help from God. We're in a sinful condition, a broken condition. We need help from God. And here it is. It says, he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose, to let go those that are appointed to death. And then it says, God looked down from heaven in Psalm 53 upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They're altogether become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. So children, we need help. And what's so wonderful and so precious is this. Help is available. You know what you have to do to get it? You have to just reach out and say, Lord Jesus, help me. Just help me. I'm a sinful man. Save my soul. I'm a sinful boy or girl. Save my soul. And will he do it? Those that come to him, he will not cast out. He'll not cast them out. So let's sing one more little song and then we'll close with prayer. All right. I'm sorry? I'm getting too old to hear. Oh, okay. All right, all right. What's that? Number three.
In the
His care of those who trust His word will never, never end. You want to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, children, and then all through your lifetime, you have this book as your guidebook. Now, one more thing before we pray. Those of you that know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, listen carefully. You can call God your Father. You can call the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior. You can call the Spirit of God your Comforter. You can have the people of God for your companions and your friends. You have the Bible as your guidebook all the way through this world. And then you have heaven as your home. Isn't that wonderful? And the Lord's coming is what you're waiting for. Let's pray. Our God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for this blessed story of salvation. We think of how it cost Thee so much, Lord Jesus. We pray for each of these children. Bless them, keep them. We think of how that if time goes on, which we believe Thy coming draweth nigh, Lord Jesus. Time goes on, these children face a world that is so twisted, broken. Lord Jesus, Thou art greater than all. We just pray for these children. Bless them, we pray. And help them. Thank Thee that they sat so still during this conference and they're doing so well. We just thank Thee for them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
Short announcements for the day. The next